I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, we're back. Well, I'm back. Dylan didn't really go anywhere, per se. Yeah. I was in Pearl, where you stayed up here. And
I was in Walnut.
Helping with a church camp, quote unquote, trying to be a good little church person.
Church boy, I guess.
A church boy.
That'd have been weird, I guess.
Okay, anyway. Hey, you're helping out the kids. That's good. Yeah. So I was fine. You know, I just sat next to Brandon Shields all week and watched baseball.
More power to you.
Hey, welcome in. We're back, like I said, after a week off because I was doing the baseball thing. Championships last week at Trustmark Park. And yeah, we're going to talk about that. We had some teams bring home trophies. And also, 'tis the season for coaching moves everywhere, nonstop.
And it ain't over.
I'm having trouble keeping up. No, it's not. But we've got some news on that front. Really, that's about all we're going to talk about, so maybe it won't be too long of an episode. Just appreciate y'all tuning in. Again, you can catch Prep Rally every Wednesday, usually, although today's Thursday, but it's been a weird week. I took Wednesday off, because why not?
Yeah.
I needed it. but yeah, normally every Wednesday, you can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. And let us jump into a recap of what happened last week in Pearl with the high school baseball championships. We had four teams down there, and three of them brought back championship trophies. So that's a pretty good showing, if you ask me. Let's start in 1A with Tupelo Christian taking the title against Resurrection Catholic. And they did so with a sweep. And, you know, Noah Foster, the senior, he's more known for his bat and his defense. Mm. But in the playoffs, his pitching arm has come up huge, of course, in that game three against Pine Grove. And then in game two, he got the ball against Resurrection Catholic and tossed a shutout. They won 4-0, a complete game shutout. And so Foster, man, really coming up big in the big moments and won the game, won the MVP trophy. And everything, so that's a heck of a way to go out for him and the other seniors like Kai Holiday, obviously had a big year. And, you know, I mean, Foster came into this game with a 5.25 ERA. But crunch time, big time players make big time plays, Dylan.
Yeah, when you shut out, like, that's the thing. We talked about it 2 weeks ago in our little preview stuff leading into Pearl, how good that Resurrection Catholic team is, like, mm-hmm. some of the teams and opponents they beat down there, you know, they beat MRA, they beat some really good private schools and stuff like that. So you know that they're a talented team when you go in. Then you see what Daniel Redout did in game one, pitched really well for TCPS, and then Foster follows that up with his performance in game two to finish off the sweep of that team. That's as impressive as a series win as you can get, and to do it down in Pearl's
yeah,
very monumental.
Well, you know, Tupelo Christian plays a pretty tough schedule during the season, so that I think that definitely factored into their ability to take down a really good Resurrection team.
They lost game two, both game twos, to Biggersville and to Pine Grove. That's the only losses they've had to a team below 3A, because they lost to Nettleton three times.
Right.
And then they lost every other game, I believe, was either to a 4A opponent, because I believe they lost to Corinth once, maybe. Yeah. And then a bunch of 6A teams, because they went down on the coast and lost to, like, Ocean Springs and all them. So they tested themselves, and it paid off in a big, big way. And second title.
They won it in 2016 as well. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it paid off in their second title. But you play hard schedules, you get rewarded for it. And especially in baseball, like, you want to see those arms. You want to see, you know, what the state has to offer. And they did. So.
And then in 3A, we had Boonville taking the title in a three-game series win over McGee. They won the third game decisively, 12-4. Those bats, that, you know, they've got so many good bats on that team, and those guys got it going in game three. First title since 1999, which was, in fact, that's only their second title ever. Mm-hmm. And Boonville did this after, you know, they lost game one on that Tuesday, and then one on Thursday, and then clinched it on Saturday. So I was leaving I was about to leave because I covered, we'll talk about this in a minute, the Saltillo game. But I covered Saltillo's game three, wrote my story on Saturday, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to just get back to Tupelo because it's been a long week, and the Boonville game had just started. But I wanted to stick around for it, but I was like, I just need to get back. But before I left, I saw John Daniel Deaton hit an inside the park grand slam, which I don't know if I've ever seen that before. And it was a legit, I mean, it was a home run. There were no errors. It's just one of those things where the, if I remember right, the guy dove for it and missed it. And that's how those things usually happen. Yeah. And it got down into the corner or something. And John Daniel.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah, he is.
They kind of sleep on him because he's at 3A school, but starting quarterback there in football. Was like a sixth or seventh man off the bench on their state runner-up team in basketball.
Yep.
Goes out to baseball, and he's starting outfielder as soon as he gets back out there. So he's a really good athlete. So I guess it didn't shock me. If you told me a candidate on Boonville hit an inside the park grand slam in that big park, you know, John Daniel Deaton probably one of my first guesses.
Yeah, definitely. And they got so many other guys. That can hit the ball like Jackson McCoy and Bryce Lindsay and, you know, guys like that, Hayden Donahue. And, of course, they got plenty of pitching as well. So not too surprised that Boonville came back to win after dropping the opener against McGee. They just had more pitching. It had a lot to do with it, I think.
That's always been Boonville's case all year long. Is like they're pitching with Donahue, McCoy, Ben Davis, and they've got other arms too. Bryce Lindsay can throw. They've always had that. And we're talking about a team that lost their most experienced pitcher in Zach Gann before the season even started.
That's right.
And like they very well could have had four very good arms like that. But, you know, went into the season with those three, and that's kind of led them the whole year. But now Coach Kevin Williams will tell you they were the strikeout kings early in the year. Every game you looked at them, it felt like they had double-digit strikeouts throughout the lineups. But you know, that something happened in the playoffs where it just kind of felt like their bats were warming up, got better. And part of that may have been that they had John Adam White, John Daniel Deaton. So a lot of those guys played basketball and played, you know, all the way up to the last game.
Right.
And so it may have took them a while to get going. But when they finally got going in the playoffs, it obviously paid off with the state championship. So
yeah,
the talent was always there. It was just could the bats catch up, and they did. And you had to beat a McGee team that can swing it too. So
exactly. And 5A, Saltillo winning its first state title in 49 years. They beat Pascagoula in three games. And, you know, after that first game, which was so ugly, that 12-1 loss, I think that was the final. And where they, what was it? They walked seven. The Saltillo pitchers walked seven. Then they hit five batters as well. Something like that. And then there were a couple of errors in there as well. So that was just not a typical game for them pitching-wise. It's just kind of one of those things, you know, you don't expect that. But in the playoffs, anything can happen. But to their credit, they bounced back. And Drake Douglas, the guy who struggled so much in game one, comes back in game three in relief and throws four innings of no-hit ball. As Saltillo ends up getting the win over Pascagoula to take the championship. And you know, that's another team with a lot of pitching that you figured could help them down the line. And that was the kind of the blessing in disguise of Douglas getting knocked around and pulled in the second inning in game one, is that he was available to pitch in game three. And, I mean, certainly they had plenty of pitching besides him. But Ian Dillon did struggle a little bit the first three innings of game three, and they pulled him with no outs, I think a couple guys on in the fourth inning. And then Douglas comes in. He threw a wild pitch that let a run score, but that run wasn't technically on him. And after that, I think they had one base runner out of 13 batters he faced. I mean, he was just obviously back to his old self.
Well, he's a sophomore. And,
yeah, I know.
You know, when you're a sophomore and you draw that game one start in Pearl, and this is the first time your school's been down there since like 98, I believe. When Eric Reynolds was a player there at Saltillo. Like, so, you know, you get back in that environment, it's the first time you're a sophomore, young player, and obviously didn't go your way, but that, you got to feel like he was probably very comfortable when he got on the mound on Saturday for game three. So, yeah, good for him. That's a good story for him to be able to bounce back, because he's going to be an arm for Saltillo for the next, because they've got a chance. You know, they lose a couple seniors, but, you know, they bring back Matthew Roncalli, who was the player of the series in the 5A series there. And,
yeah, the catcher.
Yeah, he's very good. And that's, they bring back Evan McCarthy. They got some pieces coming back to where, you know, they're going to rely on Douglas probably to be that number one arm for them next year. And I'm sure their aspirations are to get back to Pearl. So he probably won't have that shell shock moment that he probably had in that game one. But
Yeah.
Benji Webb had a good game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Ben Webb
right?
had a great
they
game.
They didn't worry about he had, I think he pitched a complete game. Did he not? Yeah. So they, outside of Douglas's little shakiness there in that first start, their pitching settled in from game two on. So.
Yeah, definitely. And also, you know, Eric Reynolds, man, he just, especially in that game three, like every button he pushed, things worked. He sent two pinch hitters to the plate during that game. Both got RBI hits. Huh. Evan McCarthy was one of them. You know, he didn't start because he had a hand injury he suffered sliding into first earlier in the series. But he came up there when they needed him to in the second inning and smacked, I think it was a two-run single. And so then later in the game, I can't remember who it was now that pinch hit later in the game, but he came through as well. I mean, like, I think everybody in the lineup reached base at least once.
Yeah.
So all nine hitters plus the two pinch hitters.
That's how you fill out a lineup card if you're a coach.
Exactly. So great job there by Eric Reynolds and Saltillo. And then in 2A, East Union back in the finals. They've been there quite a bit under Chris Basil, but got swept in the 2A series there. And it was, you know, after the scary moment in game one, like you're a little bit less concerned about, I guess, you know, the final result. But still, it they would have loved to have been able to get that title, especially now with Chris Basil stepping down, which we'll get to in a minute. But, Carter Phillips, the pitcher, it's early in the game, game one, that sharp ground ball off the bat of Ty Keys smacked him right in the ear. I mean, he went down like a rock and eventually was able to walk off the field, went to the hospital. Long story short, it could have been a lot worse. I mean, he did suffer a lacerated eardrum, I think it was, or ear canal. And but otherwise, I mean, no concussion. And, you know, if that ball had hit like an inch higher above the ear, that's a whole different thing. I mean, Ty Keys smoked that ball. Thank God it hit the ground first.
Yeah.
And it was still
moving. Obviously, I wasn't there, but like I just got a notification on my phone or something about, you know, the incident. And I just thought immediately, I was like, oh, no. You know, and it's always worse when you're, you know, hundreds of miles away and you don't – you weren't there to see it. But, man, I was just – a nervous wreck until I saw the update after the game that miraculously he didn't have a concussion, no busted eardrum, nothing like that, and was able to bounce back. And I was – and if you haven't read Brad's column, it's very good. Brad wrote a column on Carter and his bounce back to come back in game two and pitch in relief in game two, even though it was a loss for East Union, just to for him to have that moment and be able to actually pitch and finish out his high school career the right way, whether it's a win or a loss, to finish it on the field. And so that was a good moment for them.
Yeah, he's a great kid. He's been through a lot of stuff in his life, and he just got right back up and kept going. I mean, I can't say enough about
you,
that.
You root for kids like that.
You do. Yeah.
Easy to root for.
But anyway, yeah, Taylorsville gets the sweep, and that is a good Taylorsville team, man.
Good luck 1A next year.
I know. Here's the thing about Taylorsville. I think that gives them now 7 baseball state titles, 8, and they have 8 in football. This was the first year they won state in both sports at the same time.
Yeah.
Same year. Go
they're
figure.
Just talented. And I know they lose some seniors and stuff, but they're one of those places that everybody knows about. They reload and stuff. So, and with them, like I said, they're dropping to 1A next year. So,
yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck indeed. All right, let's move on to some coaching news. We got plenty of it. We're not going to touch on everything. We'll hit the highlights. I mentioned Chris Basil a moment ago. He is retiring after 29 years as East Union's head baseball coach. And Jamie Russell is going to take over. Jamie, of course, is well known around here. He played at Morville. He was an assistant there a long time. Then he coached at Ripley as head coach. Then he went to Smithville, won a state title there. Then he's been back at Morville the last couple of years or so as an assistant. He has a kid in school there. But now he's going to step in and take over for Basil. And to me, it's a perfect fit. For one thing, those guys are so much alike in personality.
Yeah.
Both very kind of laid back. You're not going to And they come off as very serious, and they are, but you know, also I think they both kind of have a sneaky sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very. And even Chris said that when I talked to him this morning. He's like, yeah, Jamie's a lot like me, and that'll be good to step in and take over the program.
Championship pedigree matters
too. Yes,
or you're a program like East Union that expects to be there every year.
Yeah.
You get a guy that's been there, done that at Smithville and places.
Definitely. And so Chris said, you know, he just decided to do it now because he's just kind of exhausted. I mean, he's also assistant principal or was, and then with COVID and everything, that, you know, that role of his took a lot out of him, having to deal with all that and some other things that factored in. So he just thought it was a good time to kind of hang it up. And, you know, 29 years at one school, I mean, he's they better name something after him.
Build a statue, name the field after him, do something.
I mean, gosh, the guy had a tremendous career there, won two state championships. He won, how many games was it? 500 plus.
642.
642, my bad. 600 plus, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, he's one of the best that's ever done it around here. So, hate to see him go, but I think Jamie Russell will do just fine there with the Urchins. Andy Wilbank, speaking of baseball, has stepped down at Ingomar. I don't remember how long he's been there, but it's been a while.
Yeah,
he's been there a long time. And so Ben Wallace is going to take over. Mm-hmm. He played at Ripley?
He played at Ripley.
Yes.
And he's coached at Walnut the last 6 years. And
that's right.
He'll take over for Andy, who's no shock to anybody with the last name Wilbanks, is my cousin.
I'm surprised.
If you're not even, last name's Wilbanks, holler at me. You're probably my cousin. So, yeah. Of course, I'm from Walnut, so I've known Wallace for a long time, too. And so, two good guys, two good coaches. I think Andy's going to be he's going to be the golf coach at Ingomar. He's getting a good role, you know, just taking a step back.
Just
and
the golf coach.
Going to be do something else in the spring other than baseball, and he'll let Wallace take over that. So, that'll be fun to watch.
All right. Then Shane Hales has left Nettleton. He was the Nettleton girls coach the last, 4 or 5 years?
4 years.
Four years. So he's going to take over at Mantachie, the boys' coaching job, because Scott Collier left to go to TCPS. So Shane has been around a while. Of course, his son is J.C. Hales at West Union, the coach over there. And so I think that's a good pickup for Mantachie.
Yeah. You lose Collier long tenured coach from over there, you lose him and you replace him with another guy that's been there, done that, and coached a lot of years. So,
and some football news I just found out about yesterday. I guess it just kind of came out yesterday or day before, whenever it was, sometime this week.
Yeah.
Thrasher has a new football coach. Jason Allen has stepped down. Ross Coley, was an assistant at Warren Central, and at the moment, that's all I know about him.
I seen his announcement yesterday on Twitter, and he said that he had been at Warren Central for the last 18 years.
Wow.
As an assistant coach. And I guess, you know, if you're from Tupelo, because Tupelo and Warren Central's ran into each other in the football playoffs a bunch of times, and or any of the 6A schools that's ran into Warren Central in the past, you know, I don't know what side of the ball he worked on, but you know that Warren Central defensively, like year in, year out,
is
unreal. Like they always have, like, some of the lowest points per game given up, you know, by defense and stuff. So,
right.
You know, I'm sure with that mentality, he's probably going to say, hey, Thrasher, let's stop giving up, you know, 40 and 50 points a game. Let's try to.
He's got a challenge on his hands at Thrasher.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
But, you know, when you come from winning cultures and stuff, you know, sometimes it's easier to go establish one somewhere else when you've been, like I said, nearly two decades at a place that knows how to win and has done it for a long time. So I think it's a really good hire for Thrasher. You know,
most definitely.
Their new principal is Paul Lyles, the former Walnut High School basketball
coach.
That's
right. I did see that a while back.
He's the new principal over there at Thrasher. And so I don't know how much of a hand he had in this hire, but I expect they'll hire good coaches over there. So.
Definitely. All right. That's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in. We come to you every Wednesday, usually. Find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke, and Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ, and I reckon we'll be back next week. If not, we'll let you know.